Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and on behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, thank you guys so much for listening today. Hey, if you like what you hear, be sure to share us with your friends. Today, I'm joined by a wonderful Bible teacher, speaker, and a true and dear friend, Miss Margaret Feinberg. You know, I sort of grew up around Margaret as I witnessed and have participated in the extraordinary women's conferences that my mom hosts throughout really the entirety of my life. And Margaret has been a true friend to our ministry. She travels with us and speaks often to the women gathered at eWomen, and I have seen her ministry truly grow tenfold throughout my life. You know, Margaret is the host of the Joycast podcast and author of numerous books and Bible studies, which have actually sold over 1 million copies. Today, Margaret is here to break down her brand new book, The God You Need to Know, Experience the Holy Spirit's Power and Presence Today. Well, my friends, as many of us know, we can actually have a lot of knowledge about God with ever truly knowing and experiencing Him. Today, I'm excited for Margaret to share her heart behind this book and help us better understand what the Bible and especially the Old Testament says about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That being said, Margaret Feinberg, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today.
Zach, you are a blast. And every chance I get, the answer is yes.
Well, hey, to all of us, to my family, you know how much of a dear friend you are to my mom. She just raves about you. She loves you so much. And we all do. Everybody here at eWomen, at AACC, we're grateful for you. The impact God is continually having on your life. And let's just say this. We're here at the Lander Center, South Haven, Mississippi. A couple thousand women are in the house. You just gave a compelling, a convicting, and encouraging word, and the Lord was all over it, working in and through the lives and the hearts of countless women. I mean, honestly, the altar call was astounding. It was so beautiful. It brings tears to your eyes even to think about what God is doing, not just here, but all around the country and all around the world. Margaret, for you, something that we've touched on several times in the past is that you're no stranger to suffering, you're no stranger to adversity, but yet at the same time, what I've seen you just continually display and model is a spirit of joy and of love, and really just the fruit of the Spirit. And I think obviously that is the Holy Spirit's work in and through your life. And that's where I really want to dive in today and unpack your new upcoming book coming out June 10th, but also a Bible study, two in one, right? The God You Need to Know. I want to ask just up front, Margaret, what was it that God was stirring in you that really prompted this message for, again, such a time as this?
Yeah, you know, I really felt led back in 2019 that I wanted to tackle this topic. And then the whole world went a little sideways. I don't know if anybody noticed at the 2020. And so I'm actually was 4.5 years late on this project. And part of it was all of some of the suffering and chaos that was happening in our life. And then the second was saying, I'm going to write a book on Holy Spirit is like saying, I'm going to write a book on God. Yeah. Like, it's so huge. And that left me a little paralyzed. And so it took me several years of reading and researching to really zero in on looking at Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Because growing up in the church, people would often talk about Holy Spirit and they'd send me to Acts 2 and the book of Acts. And that's fabulous, except that my life doesn't look like that. And it wasn't until I went back to the beginning and started to recognize and see the work of Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament that I was like, oh. And when you start to look and study that, what happens is you arrive at Acts 2 in the book of Acts and you go, oh, of course it would happen this way. And what that does is that normalizes Holy Spirit for all of us. I think a lot of us have grown up with abuse. We've grown up with controlling. We've grown up with, you know, things that we've seen and done in the name of Holy Spirit that wasn't. And that leaves a bad residual taste in so many of our lives and maybe a little hesitancy, skepticism, fear. But when you start to recognize, oh, no, the Spirit of the living God all the way through the Old Testament and into the New, you're like, this is normal. This is a normal part of following Jesus. And that's fun and that's exciting. So I'm kind of trying to take the weird out of living in step with the Spirit.
We were talking and I was telling you, you know, it's funny how based on our denominations or our flavor of Christianity that we grew up around, Margaret, sometimes we don't maximize, we don't lean into, we're not even aware of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our life. And I think that's something that we really are going to dive into and unpack today. But I would love to ask you, what is it about like religious circles that sometimes there is almost a fear of having these types of conversations around the Holy Spirit? But also, why do you think it was so overlooked for so long in terms of the Holy Spirit's work in and throughout the Old Testament that you've really begun to identify?
Yeah, I think a couple things on that. First of all, I think part of the reason that the look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, you have to understand pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, really in depth, has only been around for the last 120, 125 years. Wow. And it was really kicked off with the Charismatic and Pentecostal first, but starting with Azusa Street in Los Angeles and the revival that broke down racial walls, barriers, just so much. And so that's when the theology and those scholars began really, so it's a younger to really look in depth. And then I know for me, I've been, you know, studied a ton of different scholars. It was a man by the name of Jack Levison. And he was the one who started to point out that in Hebrew, and I think it's why so many of us miss it, the word for spirit is ruach, and it can be translated wind, it can be translated breath, it can be translated angel, among other things. And so when translators were looking and having to make a decision on how to translate a word, you know, they had to choose between those. And so if you're, depending on the translation you're using, there's actually almost 400 references to ruach in the Old Testament. But based on the translation, you may just think, oh, it's just another wind, or it's just a little breath, and not recognizing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in that. So some of it's just language. And so we start to look closer and we're like, oh, look at what God and the Spirit of the living God is up to. And then back to your other question regarding kind of that hesitance. I grew up, we moved around a lot as a kid, and so I'm kind of a spiritual mutt. I mean, growing up, I attended Southern Baptist churches, Methodist churches, non-denominational churches, charismatic churches, Episcopal churches. And one of the gifts that gave me was kind of catching a little bit of a glimpse of how Holy Spirit was expressed in each and how the differences. And I think everybody brings something rich and beautiful to the table. You know, for our Southern Baptist friends, it's how the Spirit of the living God, you know, fills God's word and speaks to us. For Episcopal, you know, they may recognize the Spirit, you know, in their stained glass and the imagery. We may see in the Methodist church how Holy Spirit is kind of that abiding presence with us. And so different emphasis. But we've got to do, and I think I try to do in the God You Need to Know book and Bible study, is bring that all together and give us just solid scriptural ground to stand on, where we wake up and go, this is the most normal thing ever.
Yes. Yes, it really is. And being able, like you said, you know, growing up Baptist myself, just being able to have these types of conversations to dive deeper into, like you said, being attuned to the Holy Spirit's work and leading and guiding in our life is necessary because there's power in that. There truly is. And as you then are describing Pentecost, which would take place a few days later, which can be found in Acts chapter 2, you describe it as a culmination of the Holy Spirit's work rather than its beginning. And I want to talk to you about that for a second. Why is that so significant to understand? Why is there importance there? But then also, how does that shift and change the way in which we really read and understand both the Old and the New Testaments moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I read that passage growing up, and I read it almost as like a trade-out. Well, if Jesus goes, then Holy Spirit can come. Yeah. But the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, is one. So while one may take the lead in a particular moment, whether it's God speaking creation into existence, it doesn't mean the Spirit and Jesus aren't present. And so it's not like suddenly, it's not like, beam me up, Scotty, we take Jesus out so Holy Spirit can come. Because if we start to look back before that moment, what had happened? I mean, we have John the Baptist, who's filled in vitro with Holy Spirit. We have Mary, who is compelled by the Holy Spirit in the songs that she sings. With Elizabeth, the Spirit is leading. We have 70 being sent out, and they're performing these wild, mind-bending miracles. Did that happen apart from Holy Spirit? No, Holy Spirit was all over Christ's arrival and life and, you know, the followers, etc. But then we start tracing back, and we go all the way back to the beginning, and we start to go, wait a second, so now I got to look backwards. Now, I've been looking at Holy Spirit my whole life through Acts 2, looking forward to the end of Scripture, and instead of starting at Genesis and looking, what's happening in Genesis verse 1-2? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. It was a tohu wavohu in the Hebrew, and the Spirit of the living God was hovering over the waters. Okay, let's just stop right there for a second. Yeah. I mean, this is mind-bending. So this is the opening of Scripture. Holy Spirit could have showed up at any scene, and he shows up over the tohu wavohu, the formless and the void. In the Old Testament, that it was like a deep, watery abyss. Mm-hmm. It is resembled of chaos, the uncertainty, and the unknown. And all of a sudden, at the beginning of it all, that's where Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, comes. It doesn't just come, hovers. The word in Hebrew is the word merahefet, and it can be translated as brooding, like an eagle or a bird does for their young. And then you start to see that God takes on that imagery in the book of Deuteronomy, wanting to gather the young. We see Jesus in the New Testament saying, you know, I wish, like for Jerusalem, that I'm ahead gathering, wrapping around my young. And you start to see, wait a second, this is Holy Spirit doing this, God doing this, Jesus doing this. Of course, it's consistent, right, among the character because they are three in one. And so we start to take that down and break that out into our own life. So where is our dark, watery abyss? Where is the place in our sports, in our professions, in our relationships, in our singleness, in our marriage, in our finances that feels like chaos, that feels like a dark, watery abyss? And we can rest assured that in those spaces, Holy Spirit draws near, hovering, protective, provision in those moments. And I can tell 100 stories of this happening, but scripturally, this is where we begin.
Yes.
This is where we are. This is exciting and fun. This turns our adventure of following Jesus into just something so spectacular.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking about some of the characters that you unpack in the book, right? Gideon and David and Ezekiel and countless others. But I would love to hear from you personally before we dive into some of the ways in which the Holy Spirit has truly impacted you specifically, Margaret. How have you seen, just based on some of those stories in Scripture, just the ways in which God has moved, the Holy Spirit was imparting himself in and throughout these characters' lives, and how has that then shaped the way in which you live your life today?
Yeah. Let me just jump through two real quick. You know, so often we kind of have these things that we've been taught, and I love, there's one theologian who says, you know, never let the Bible get in the way of really nice, tidy theology,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Exodus 31:1, then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." Wait. I thought people got filled in the New Testament. Wait,
right.
What?
Right.
What is happening here? You know, and you start to recognize how the Spirit of God, and notice that it doesn't just say that, you know, he will fill or he is filling. It says, I have filled him, which means the Spirit of God was already filling this artisan along with his compadre, Aholiab, in order to lead an entire guild of artisans to fashion the tabernacle. I mean, whoa. And so you see Holy Spirit working among creatives. I don't know if we have any creatives listening today. Yeah. Designers, thinkers, artists, musicians, writers, all whatever you are creating. And some of you are creating kids who love Jesus. Some of you are creating blueprints. Some of you are creating incredible math equations, whatever it is. But the Holy Spirit filled them for that work to make something that would make a difference. And so when you and I sit down to our creative works, we can lean into Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, fill me for this, what I'm doing, what you've called and created me to do in this moment, in this time in my life, and let it have a meaning and a permanence that it would not have if I only tried to do it on my own. Mm. And that's just a very practical, whatever your job is, your sports, whatever, like Holy Spirit, fill me for this. And so we start to see these recognitions. And I dive back into this really deep in the God You Need to Know Bible study. A second one that I stumbled upon that literally just, I went, whoa. Gideon. Gideon I love because he's like the guy who's like, are you sure, God? Are you sure? Are you sure? Really? I need proof. I need this, like, please. And it describes at a certain point that the Holy Spirit came on Gideon. But if you actually look in the Hebrew, it can be translated that the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon. But as one translator said, it actually can suggest that the Holy Spirit wore Gideon like a garment.
You know, you have a quote in the book that you said that the Holy Spirit meets us in our mayhem. And I think back to just some challenging moments in my own personal life and my own personal journey and what the Holy Spirit has been to me during those times, Margaret. I think of, you know, comforter. I think of friend. I think of a source of conviction. I think of encourager. I think of helper and so many more things. I remember being out in the woods one day. I find myself more closely attuned to the Holy Spirit and the Lord in nature. Right? I just love taking those nature walks and just having those conversations with the Lord. And I remember one day just like crying out to God and asking him, like, can you please show up and reveal yourself to me? Like, place a word on my heart. Speak to me in this type of moment. And although I never really heard the audible voice of God, one thing I did feel and feel imprinted on my heart, and in a sense, in that space, I knew it was from the Holy Spirit. Was, Zach, in the absence of clarity, there's an invitation to intimacy with me, right? Ooh. The Holy Spirit has always been there in those moments, and that's something that I needed, right, as I leaned into, and like you said, found access in the power that was already living and available to me. Margaret, for you, I'm just interested in your own personal life and your experiences. How has the Holy Spirit revealed himself in and through you personally?
Yeah. You know, I think what you said there, Zach, is so good that, you know, I've never heard God audibly. I'll just be honest. Like, yeah. I don't really know anybody who has. Yeah. I'm just gonna call out. So we always have to feel like we have to say that, which great. It's great to say. Right. But that to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit is like learning the language of God.
Right.
And for me, and all of us are different. That's so number good. One, we have a neurodiversity. We know that clearly in psychology, counseling, etc. So would it not make sense that the God who created us, Psalm 139, who knew us in the womb, that the Spirit of the living God would know how to communicate to each of us? And it might be slightly different,
yeah,
right? It's not going to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm someone, some people feel the Holy Spirit. I don't feel the Holy Spirit. I go to church, somebody stands up and it's the worship leader and he goes, do you feel the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, nope. Not at all. Check out. Nope.
Yep.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge that there are times that there is a thought that pops into my mind that is not my own. You use that beautiful word, imprints. Like, all of my thoughts, like, on my own are selfish. They're self-centered. Yeah. I just want to eat too much and do all the things, right? And yet there'll be a thought that's like, go and give this person a kind word. Mm. Go and give them the cash that's in your wallet. Go and show kindness. Go reach out of yourself in a way that, if we really step back and look at it, is helping bring in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so that is how Holy Spirit often speaks to me. It'll be a thought and I'll be praying, or I'll put myself in a place of dependence, or a prayer prompt that says, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you leading? Pay attention to what thoughts pop in. Something that's transformed my life, super practical, in the last couple months. My friend Drake, he, huge Young Life guy, amazing leader in our town. And I said, how do you teach, you know, the youth about Holy Spirit and how to listen? Yeah. And he said this, and I did it. I was like, oh my gosh, it changed my life. So he said, Margaret, I get a journal, and each day I write down one question for Holy Spirit. Mm. It can be any question. It can be about purpose, identity. Holy Spirit, who am I? Holy Spirit, what are you calling me to do? Holy Spirit, who can I show your loving kindness today? Yeah. Just one question. And he writes it down. Spend some time and we forget prayer is one part speaking and like five parts listening. So, yeah. Right? Leaves a little bit of silence. And then throughout the day, that's all he does. Throughout the day, he comes back to that question. We'll just prayerfully say, Holy Spirit, you know, who are you calling me to show loving kindness? Holy Spirit, who are you showing me to, you know, calling me to show loving kindness? And he'll watch throughout his day as suddenly he'll feel led to like do something kind for somebody or pick up the phone and call or whatever that little task may be. And then I'll write it down that night and the next morning. And the next morning, he may write the same question again, and he may write it for weeks or months, or he may shift it out. And he says, what it does is it changes the posture of your life. Right? So we receive the command, pray without ceasing. And the reality is we're all like, well, I don't know how to do that. And so I was like, Drake, I am terrible at journaling. I'm the worst. And part of it is because I'm a writer. And at the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is write some more. But I was like, okay, I'll give this a go. And for the first time in my life, I'm journaling. And it's just one question a day. Mm-hmm. And I am amazed at how I am singing. Just that shift in posture, that invitation to little teeny baby prayers throughout the day. I'm saying, oh, this is what you're calling me to do. This is what you're, and things that I would just rush past before, I'm now taking the time to pray and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you mean by that? What are you? And then writing down and saying, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit is more alive and vibrant than I ever guessed or imagined. Why didn't anybody tell me?
Margaret, my friend, as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, I always think back to the audience member out there who maybe is in like a season of just discouragement, hardship, mm-hmm. suffering, and it's been difficult for them to see God, his hand in their life, and him even moving in any way, shape, or form. What's one final word of mm-hmm. hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would offer them about the God that you know mm-hmm. and just being able to encourage them for the road ahead?
Yeah, you know, just drawing back to that imagery from Genesis 1:2, in the midst of the uncertainty and the unknown, the tohu wavohu, the deep dark abyss, the scary and the fearful and the it seems impossible, that is precisely when Holy Spirit steps onto the stage in creation, and he steps onto the stage in your life. Mm-hmm. So look up, be attentive, pray. You can pray to God, you can pray to Jesus. Why can't you pray to Holy Spirit?
Right.
And talk to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you did that. You did that then, and I want you to do that in my life. Mm-hmm. And watch and wait. Call your friends, ask them to pray alongside of you. And let's watch and see what Holy Spirit does in and through you.
Margaret, my friend, where can our audience go to find out more about you? But also, June 10th is the release date of The God You Need to Know. Where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to all of their online favorite retailers like Amazon. We also have it at margaretfeinberg.com, where you can also learn more about me. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, MA Feinberg, all of that. But honestly, man, if you were to follow me, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm saying this, but man, I'd just so much rather have you follow Jesus and get to know the Holy Spirit, because he has good things up his sleeve for you.
Margaret, you are a gift. You are a friend. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row, with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.